love. On the lip tour greens where dreams rise above. Balls deep, swingers, they're taking the scene. With big sticks and bogey boys living the dream. Lip pods, the sound where the stories are told. Eureka's and two ballers going for gold. Regular flex and shanks, it's quite the hook. Grab a seat, tune in, let's take a closer look.
Okay, let's dive right in. You know, competitive golf is just, it's something else, isn't it? Especially when you follow it almost shot by shot.
It really is. One minute you think a player's got it made or a team is running away with it, and the next, well, things can change incredibly fast.
An absolute roller coaster. That's the perfect word for it sometimes. Scores, emotions, the whole lot.
Totally. And that's what makes tracing the timeline of a tournament like the Foundation Cup so interesting. You see the ebb and flow, the strategy, the mental side playing out hole by hole.
Exactly. So that's our mission today. We're going deep into this Foundation Cup round from the LIB Tour. We've got the official timeline, and we're going to, you know, unpack the story.
Right. We'll look at the twists, the turns, the moments of brilliance.
And maybe the moments that were, let's say, less than brilliant.
Yeah, those two. We've got the timeline, as you said, the course layout for Red Libbits, which is key team details, player notes with all the nicknames.
All of Nipover.
And, of course, the final results and stats to tie it all together.
Perfect. So our goal is basically to take you, the listener, hole by hole, or at least checkpoint by checkpoint, through this round. We'll follow the key players, see how the leaderboard just kept shifting, and pinpoint those moments that really defined the day. Okay, enough setup. Let's get into it. What's the first thing that jumps out after, say, the opening couple of holes?
Right. So straight out of the gate, after just two holes, players are getting their feet wet at Red Libbits. Hole one is a par four, stroke index 12, so, you know, middle of the road difficulty.
Okay.
Hole two is a par five, SI6, bit easier, definitely one you'd hope to score on. So a chance to ease in, maybe, but that first hole has some teeth.
And after those first two, who was setting the early pace?
It was Gareth Coulter. He was sitting nicely at two under par, minus two.
Wow. Quick start.
Yeah, textbook stuff. Pars on both the par four first and the par five second. Mm. Exactly what you want.
Okay. Anyone close behind?
Yeah. Just one shot back at minus one. There's a little cluster. You had Simon Ford, 40. He started with a par on one.
Right.
And Linus Bumbleys and Justin Gledhill Carr, they both got to one under by parring that scoreable par 5 second. Seems like taking advantage of that second hole early was key.
Makes sense. And then there was a big group right on even par.
Yeah. Significant bunch right there. Let's see. Codd, Darren Reed, King Louie, Henry Jackson, Tom Whitelaw, Dish, Woody, Bullseye, Romesh, and Terry Hare.
Quite a crowd.
It is. And a real mix of scorecards already. Codd, for instance, he went par double bogey.
Ouch. Double on the par 5 second?
Yeah, that's unexpected. A hole you're really hoping to maybe birdie, or at least par.
Definitely a drop shot or two against the field there.
And it's interesting, you know, how different paths lead to the same score. Mm-hmm. King Louie, Tom Whitelaw, Bish, they all went bogey par. Bullseye mirrored Codd. Par, double bogey. And then you look at Suki Saran. He's also even par after two.
Right.
But he got there with a par on one, followed by a triple bogey on that same par 5 second.
A triple on an SI6 par five. That's got to hurt early on, giving three shots back like that.
It really puts you behind the eight ball immediately.
Yeah.
And speaking of early struggles, Randit Gill, Deepa, and Greg Hammond, they were both plus one after double bogeys on the first.
Tough start.
And Paul Salvage and Dicko were already facing an uphill battle at plus two. Double bogeys on both the first and second. That's the kind of start that, well, it takes some serious mental game to come back from.
Yeah, two over through two is definitely not part of the plan. How did that translate to the team standings early on?
Well, naturally, the teams reflected those individual scores. Regular flex, they got off to a flyer, collectively sitting at minus six.
Strong start.
Very. Shanks and Big Hook and the Swingers were right behind, tied at minus four. Then it started to spread out a little. Eureka's at minus three. Big Sticks and Bogey Boys both minus two, Balls Deep minus one, and the two ballers were trailing a bit at plus three.
So pretty tight at the top still.
Yeah, relatively close right at the beginning, but a few teams definitely put down an early marker.
Okay, let's move it along. After six holes, things started to change, right? This stretch includes the infamous hole three.
Oh, yes. We've now played through hole three. That's the par four, SI2, officially the hardest hole on the course.
Right.
Then hole four, par three, SI16, so easier. Oh. Hole five, another par five, SI4, pretty gettable. And hole 6, par 4, SI-14, fairly straightforward. So a real mix in this stretch.
That third hole sounds like the big test here.
It absolutely is. SI-2, it's designed to challenge you. Probably needs a good drive, tough approach. Getting through there without damage is key. But then the par 5 fifth is a definite birdie chance.
And someone clearly navigated this stretch well.
Darren Reed did. He made a big jump, 4 spots at the leaderboard, taking the outright lead at -2.
Okay.
The timeline notes he played this tough stretch really well, including pars on both the brutal third and the scoreable fifth. That's quality golf right there, handling both extremes.
Yeah, impressive. What about the chasing pack? Who is at even par now?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. Codd is tied for second at even, but how he got there? He had a birdie on the sixth.
Nice.
But that came after a triple bogey on the short par 3 fourth.
Wow, a triple on a par 3. That cancels out the birdie and then some. Shows how volatile it can be.
Doesn't it just? 40's also even, but he took a triple bogey on the tough third. That hole was definitely biting back. But he recovered with a par on 6.
Okay, and Dish.
Dish is also even, par on the third, which is great, but a bogey on the fourth. And then look at Paul Salvage.
What about him?
He made a massive jump. 18 places up the leaderboard to get to even par.
18 places? How?
The sources note, he managed pars on the really tough third and the par 5 fifth. After starting double-double, that is just incredible resilience.
That's amazing. To shake off that start and post pars on those keyholes?
Yeah.
That's a huge mental win.
It really is. That ability to just reset and execute is what lets players claw their way back. The pack right behind at +1 included Tom Whitelaw. He had a double bogey on 3 and a bogey on 4.
Tough stretch for him.
Yeah. Kyle Dean's there too. Despite a double bogey on 6, he played 3 and 5 okay. Bullseye is +1 after a double bogey on the par 5 fifth. Justin Gledhill Carr and Charlie French also at +1, both hit by big numbers, double on 6 for Justin, triple on the tough third for Charlie.
Those difficult holes are really starting to shape the leaderboard.
Definitely dictating terms. And this is where the sources get a little pointed, as you said.
The notable struggles.
Exactly. Suki Sarand, who the notes mention, was celebrating his birthday.
Happy birthday, Suki. How'd it do?
Well, shambolic 9 on 6.
And a 9 on a par 4. Oh, dear. That's not a good birthday present from the golf course.
No, that's going to leave a mark. And speaking of marks, Gareth Coulter, our early leader.
Yeah, he was -2.
Was. He faced a woeful 9 on 6. Dropped him 20 spots.
20 spots from -2 to
+5. One hole completely wiped out that great start.
Wow. Stroke play is brutal.
And Terry Hare? Car crash, 8 on 4.
8 on a par 3.
Yeah. He fell 16 spots. These specific scores, these blow-ups, they really tell the story, don't they? How fast things can unravel.
They absolutely do. So how did all this drama affect the teams after 6?
Well, the leaderboard definitely shuffled. The swingers took the lead now at -3.
Okay.
Regular Flex and Shanks and Big Hook were tied just behind at -2. Bogey boys moved up to even par, but the gap started to widen elsewhere. Eureka's dropped to +4.
Yeah.
Big Sticks to +2.
So the top team's bunching up, some others falling back a bit.
Exactly. Starting to see some separation.
All right. Hitting the turn. After 9 holes, they've played hole 7, par 4, SI-8, hole 8, par 3, SI-18, supposedly the easiest par 3, and hole 9, par 4, SI-10. How are things looking now?
Well, Darren Reed is still holding on to the lead, but he slipped slightly to -1 after a bogey on 7. Still, holding the lead despite a drop shot shows some grit.
And Codd.
Codd moved into solo second place at even par. He got through these holes with a bogey on that easy par 3 eighth and a par on 9.
A bogey on the easiest par 3 might feel like a missed opportunity there.
Could do. 40 and Dish were tied for third at +1. Dish actually had a birdie on 7, which is good.
Yeah.
But then gave shots back with bogeys on the easy 8th and the 9th. 40 took a double bogey on that easy 8th.
So that easiest par 3 caught a few players out near the top.
It certainly seems like it. Maybe it's a bit deceptive, or maybe just a lapse in concentration thinking it's an easy hole.
Could be. Who else is in the mix?
There's a group at +2. Tom Whitelaw, bogey on 9. Greg Hammond, he made a good jump, 6 spots up.
Nice.
Paul Salvage, another double bogey on the 8th for him, though. And Bullseye, double bogey on 7.
And slightly further back.
King Louis, Kyle Dean, and Charlie French were all tied at +3. They all had some trouble in this stretch. King Louis doubled the 7th, Kyle bogeyed 7 and 8, Charlie doubled the 8th. Those last few holes of the front 9 were proving tricky.
Any bright spots?
Well, despite his earlier struggles, Randeep Gill, Deepa, managed a birdie on that very same par 3 8th hole.
Redemption on the easy par 3.
Sort of. He was still plus five overall at this point, but, you know, a birdie like that can give you a bit of momentum heading into the back nine. Shows he was still fighting.
Good for him. What about the teams at the halfway stage?
At the turn, the swingers had nudged their lead out slightly to minus two. Shanks and Big Hook moved into solo second at even par.
Okay.
Bogey Boys and Regular Flex were tied at plus two. Then Big Sticks, Balls Deep, two ballers further back. But the Eurekas were really trailing now, down at plus 11.
So the top two starting to pull away a bit.
Yeah, a little gap opening up there. But the mid-pack was still very congested.
Okay, on to the back nine. Things get really interesting after 11 holes, right? This stretch includes hole 10, the par 4, SI9 noted as the easiest hole on the course.
Right.
And hole 11, the par 4, SI1, the absolute toughest. What a contrast.
Exactly. A huge potential swing moment here. An easy scoring chance followed immediately by the hardest test. This could really shake things up.
And did it ever? A massive change right at the top, the sources say.
Huge change. Codd takes the lead. He gets to minus one by posting a crucial par on that monster 11th hole.
Par on the hardest hole. While others are likely struggling, that's massive.
It's championship stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare it to the previous leader, Darren Reed. He dropped back to even par.
Oh.
After making a bogey on the easy 10th.
Oh, wow. Bogey the easiest, while the guy overtaking you pars the hardest. That's going to sting. The margins are just tiny.
Absolutely brutal timing. 40 held steady at plus one. But then there was a big log jam forming at plus two, tied for fourth.
Who's in that group?
King Louis, par on 10. Tom Whitelaw, Dish, he bogeyed the easy 10th. And Charlie French, par on 10. And then Henry Jackson.
What did he do?
A massive jump. 11 places up the leaderboard. He parred the easy 10th, which is good. But then he made birdie on the toughest hole, the 11th.
Birdie on SI1. Are you kidding? That's incredible.
It's an exceptional score. And looking ahead at the stats, we know his back nine was the best of the day. That birdie on 11, that was clearly the catalyst. Just phenomenal golf.
Unbelievable. On the flip side, that tough 11th must have hurt some players.
Oh, definitely. Falling back a bit to plus three were Woody, Greg Hammond, and Paul Salvage. All of them took double bogeys on hole 11. It was living up to its reputation, all right.
Any other notable scores here?
We see Stephen Brownie pop up with a birdie on the easy 10th. He was still plus eight overall at this point, but that birdie, it hints at what's to come. He features later in the biggest back nine improvement stat.
Ah, foreshadowing. Okay, how did the teams look after this pivotal stretch?
The swingers extended their lead again, now out to minus three. Shanks and Big Hook still holding second at even.
Right.
Big Sticks made a jump into third at plus three. Regular Flex dropped to plus four. Bogey Boys to plus five. Balls Deep and two ballers still tied, now at plus seven. Eureka still last at plus 10.
So swingers pulling away, but the chase for second and third is really heating up.
Definitely. Very competitive behind the leaders.
Okay, moving through the back nine. After 14 holes, players have gone through 12, par 4 SI 11, 13, par 4 SI 13, and 14, par 4 SI 3, the third hardest hole. Looks like another tough stretch of par 4s.
It is, SI 11, 13, and 3. Requires consistent ball striking, good course management through here. Not a lot of easy holes.
And Codd was still leading.
Yep, Codd still holding the lead at minus one. Showed some real grit, too. He took a double bogey on 12.
Uh-oh.
But bounced right back with a par on a tough 14th. Shaking off that double immediately, that's key to holding a lead.
Impressive composure. Who's chasing him?
Darren Reed and King Louis were now tied for second at plus one. King Louis had a nice birdie on 12.
Good score there.
But gave it back with a bogey on 13. Darren Reed had bogeys on both 12 and 13. So Codd actually gained a shot of them through that stretch, despite his double.
Wow. Okay. And Henry Jackson.
Henry held steady in fourth at plus two. Bogey on 13, par on the tough 14th. Just consolidating that position after his earlier surge. Still in the mix.
What about the pack behind them?
The group at plus three now included 40, but he took a triple bogey on 13. That's going to be frustrating.
Ouch. Yeah.
Also in that group, Woody, triple bogey on 12, and Greg Hammond, double bogey on 14. These par fours were definitely taking chunks out of scorecards.
Any signs of recovery from others?
Well, at plus four, you had Tom Whitelaw, Dish, Paul Salvage, he doubled 12, and Randy Gill. Deepa showed some fight again with a par on 12. Still grinding.
Good to see. Now, I sense more major blowups coming.
You sense correctly. The sources highlight Charlie French. He's now plus six after a triple bogey on 12 and a quadruple bogey on 13.
A new quad. So that's seven shots lost in two holes.
Seven shots.
Yeah.
That just absolutely decimates your score and sends you tumbling down the leaderboard.
Devastating. Anyone else?
Suki Saran again. Now plus 9 after an unfortunate 9 on 14.
Another 9, this time on the third hardest hole. The birthday narrative is turning tragic.
It's certainly not going the way he would have hoped. These scores just hammer home how quickly a round can get away from you on the tough holes if things go wrong.
Absolutely. So, with only 4 holes left, how did the team race look after all that carnage?
The swingers were still leading, but they'd slipped back slightly to minus 1. Shanks and Big Hook closed the gap a bit, now second at plus 1.
Game on again.
Maybe. Bogey boys were solidly in third at plus 5. The two ballers made a good jump to fourth at plus 6. Balls deep and regular flex dropped back a bit, tied fifth at plus 8.
And the others?
Eureka's still plus 11, and the big stick's really struggling now, down at plus 12. Those high individual scores definitely hurting them.
Okay, heading for home. After 17 holes, just the 18th left to play, they've tackled 15, par 3, SI-15, 16, par 5, SI-7, and 17, par 3, SI-17. How did that go?
This is crunch time. You've got that scoreable par 5 at 16, sandwiched between 2 mid-range par 3s. Big chance to gain a shot on 16, but the par 3s demand focus right at the end when the pressure's highest.
And the leader, Cod, how did he handle it?
Still leading at minus 1. Showed incredible nerve, really. The sources detail his run. Bogey on 15, okay. Then a massive crucial birdie on the par 5 16th.
Yes, that's the one you want.
Absolutely. Huge score at that stage. Then he finished with a bogey on the par 3 17th. But that birdie on 16 likely gave him the cushion he needed.
Brilliant under pressure. What about Darren Reed?
He held on to second at plus 1. Steady play, keeping himself in it, probably hoping for a mistake from Conn on the last.
And the tie for third.
King Louis and 40 were tied for third at plus 2. 40 made a solid par on the par 5 16th. King Louis had a bogey on 17, both right there, poised for a podium finish, or maybe better with a great 18th.
Henry Jackson's still nearby.
Henry was fifth at plus 3, went bogey par bogey through 15, 16, 17, solid finish to consolidate his top 5 spot after that back 9 charge, but maybe not quite enough fireworks to catch the top 3.
Who else was close?
The group at plus 4 now included Tom Whitelaw, Dish, Randip Gill, and Woody, although Woody took a double bogey on the par 3 15th. That's a tough time to drop 2 shots on a par 3.
Yeah, late doubles always hurt. Any other imaginable scores noted here?
Well, the sources highlight Anthony Elisak, now plus 10 after a barely imaginable 8 on 17.
8 on a par 3 again. Wow. The descriptions are certainly vivid. Rough finish to that hole for him.
Very rough. Okay, so heading to the 18th tee, what's the team situation?
The swingers had reestablished a comfortable cushion, leading at minus 2. Shanks and Big Hook were second at plus 2.
Right.
Bogey boys holding firm in third at plus 8. Balls deep jumped up to fourth at plus 9. Regular flex fifth at plus 10. Two ballers sixth at plus 12. Eureka seventh at plus 15. And Big Sticks still bringing up the rear at plus 18.
So swingers looked pretty safe. But the fight for second, third, and those valuable season points was definitely still alive on the last hole.
Exactly. Okay, the final hole. The 18th. Par 5, stroke index 5. One last chance for heroics or disaster.
Like the other par 5s, it's an opportunity. Finish with a birdie, maybe an eagle, or under pressure, it can bite you just as easily.
And the results are in. The story is complete. Who took the individual title?
Chris O'Donoghue. Cod sealed the deal, finished at minus 2 overall, closing with a steady par on the 18th. Fantastic round, held it together brilliantly, a 2-shot win in the end. Congrats to Cod, really well played.
Excellent. And Darren Reed?
He held on to second place. Finished even par, also with a par on 18. Superb round, led for a long time, great runner-up finish.
Sure place.
Tony Money, King Louis. He finished third at plus 1, also par the 18th. Strong, consistent round for a podium spot.
And 40. He was tied with King Louis going into the last.
Yeah, Simon Ford, 40, also finished at plus 1, securing fourth place with a par on 18 too. Tied on score, but the sources note King Louis got third and 44th based on the official tiebreaker rules. Likely countback, still. A great performance from 40.
Makes sense. And Henry Jackson.
Henry took fifth place at plus 2, another par on 18. That great back 9 really paid off. Solid top 5 finish.
Who else finished strong?
Tom Whitelaw. He finished 6th at plus 2, but did it with a flourish, a birdie on the 18th. Great way to end the round.
Nice finish.
Dish finished 7th at plus 3 with a par. And rounding out the top 10, you had Randip Gill, Deepa, Woody, and Greg Hammond all finishing at plus 4. Greg Hammond also closed with a par. Solid stuff from them.
Any other notable finishes or scores we should mention?
Yeah, a few others. Kyle Dean finished plus 5, but grabbed a birdie on 18. Nice finish. Paul Salvage also plus 5, par on 18 after that great comeback earlier.
Right.
Brownie finished plus 7 with a par on 18. Dicko also plus 7. Bullseye plus 7, par on 18. Linus Bumbleys plus 8, par on 18. Justin Gledhill Carr and Charlie French both finished plus 9.
Okay. Now, the moment we've been building to. Mm-hmm. The struggles on the final hole, as highlighted by our sources.
Oh, yes. Peter Green finished plus 11 overall, but took a double bogey on the par 5 18th.
Tough finish.
Anthony Elisak, after that brutal 17th, finished plus 12 with a triple bogey on 18.
Mm-hmm.
Ramesh finished plus 13, also with a triple bogey on 18. Chris Stevens finished plus 16, another triple bogey on 18.
The 18th was fighting back hard.
It seems so. And finally, Suki Saran, after the 9s earlier, he finished at plus 17 overall with a clown car 12 on 18.
12 on a par 5. Oh, Suki, the birthday just kept getting worse on the course. That's wow.
Yeah, the notes don't hold back. It just compounded everything else. The source also mentions NR scores no returns for Scheff, Mauch, and Jethro. They took blobs on the final hole.
Meaning they picked up.
Yeah, likely reached a maximum score limit or just decided not to hole out after getting into too much trouble. Didn't complete the hole for a score.
Wow. So that final hole, despite being a par 5, definitely had some teeth, especially for players maybe trying too hard or already struggling.
It certainly provided one last chapter of drama, didn't it?
It really did. Okay, let's shift focus to the final team results. How did those individual scores stack up for the teams? Two scores count, one player is the wild card.
Right, so the winning team, no surprise really given the individual winner.
Yeah.
It's the swingers.
COD 70, 40-70 WC.
Okay, COD 70, 40-70 is the wild card. Combined score of 140. Both players shooting the exact same score. That's incredibly consistent. That's how you win team events.
Dominant stuff from their counters. Who was second?
Second place went to Shanks and Big Hook. Darren Reed had that superb 69 as the wild card, and Woody shot 76. Total of 145.
Solid second, 5 shots back.
Third place goes to Balls Deep.
Yeah.
Tom Whitelaw carded a 71 as the wild card, and Brownie shot 79, combined for 150.
Tom, and fourth?
Fourth place was the Bogey Boys. Kyle Dean shot 74 as the wild card, and Greg Hammond shot 76, also a total of 150.
Tied on score.
Yep. The sources note Balls Deep finished third and Bogey Boys fourth based on the official tiebreaker rules.
Mm.
Probably count back again.
Got it. Fifth place.
Regular Flex, Dish shot 75, and Gareth Coulter shot 77.
There.
Gave them a total of 152.
Okay. Sixth.
The two ballers. King Louis' excellent 73, but Anthony Elisak's 84 brought their total to 157. Anthony's tough finish really impacted their team's score there.
Yeah, you can see how one player's bad stretch affects the whole team. Seven.
Eurekas. Henry Jackson had that fantastic 71 as the wild card, a brilliant individual effort.
Huh.
But Terry Hare's 87 meant their total was 158. Henry just couldn't carry the whole team score on his own.
Tough when that happens. And bringing up the rear.
The big sticks. Charlie French shot 78 as the wild card, and Suki Saran shot 89, combined for 167. Those back nine struggles we talked about, especially Suki's finish, clearly sealed their fate in last place.
Right, the numbers tell the story there. Okay, what about the prizes? Who took home the cash?
Well, for the individual competition, COD, as the winner, got 50 pounds.
Nice payday.
Darren Reed picked up 30 pounds for second. King Louis earned 20 pounds for third.
Okay.
And 40 got 50 pounds for fourth. Well-deserved payouts for the top performers.
And the team prize. The source mentioned 5 pounds for the winning team, the swingers, but split weirdly.
Yeah, this is interesting. The note says the 5 pounds was split among 5 members. COD, 40, Randip Gill, Paul Salvage, and Lee Merriweather.
Huh. So not just the two counting scorers.
Nope. Seems like they decided to share the spoils more widely within the squad, maybe recognizing other contributions or just a nice team gesture. Because there's more to the team than just the two schools on the day.
Interesting little detail. Okay, the big picture then. How did the Foundation Cup shake up the season-long Lib Tour race? The Lib standings.
Well, Shanks and Big Hook, they're still leading. They actually extended their advantage slightly, now up to 49 points. Still the team to beat.
But the big movers were the swingers, right?
Absolutely. Their win here vaulted them into second place with 38 points. That's a huge jump up the table.
Wow. Who's behind them?
Eurekas are now in third with 36 points. Big Sticks drop a bit to fourth with 35 points.
Okay.
Then you got two ballers and Balls Deep tied for fifth, both on 34 points.
Close.
Very. Bogey Boys are seventh with 32 points, and Regular Flex are eighth with 30 points.
So looking at that, Shanks and Big Hook have a decent lead, 11 points, but second down to eighth.
Incredibly tight. There are only 8 points separating second place from eighth place.
8 points, that's nothing over the course of a season. Every event from here on out is going to be massive for those teams.
Absolutely critical. This Foundation Cup didn't just settle this one event. it's really intensified the battle for those crucial season-ending positions and points. The pressure is definitely on now.
Sets up a fantastic finish to the season. Okay, finally, let's just quickly run through some of those key competition stats the sources provided. Did they confirm what we saw unfolding?
They really did. Best front nine score. Darren Reed, with 35 strokes, confirms that brilliant start he had.
And best back nine.
Henry Jackson, with 33 strokes, absolutely backs up that phenomenal charge he made, especially that birdie on 11.
Yeah.
Demonstrably the best closing nine.
Best gross score overall.
Darren Reed again, with 78, shows his consistency across the day, even with slipping back slightly. Solid golf.
How about on the different types of holes, par threes?
Darren Reed again, best on par threes, finished even par, 12 strokes total. Shows good iron play and touch around the greens in those holes.
And the par fives, where the scoring happens.
That went to Kyle Dean. He finished 200 par on the par fives, 18 strokes total. He really capitalized on those opportunities, including that birdie on the last.
Makes sense. Who got the most birdies?
It was a tie between the winner, Codd, and Kyle Dean, both with two birdies or better. Finding those red numbers, even just a couple, makes such a difference.
What about the biggest turnarounds? Improvement front to back.
That was tied between Stephen Brown, Brownie, and Steve Dixon, Dicko. Both were an amazing 9 shots better on the back nine than the front.
9 shots. That's incredible resilience after a tough start.
It really is. Shows they didn't give up. On the flip side, the biggest back nine collapse.
Let me guess. Suki.
Sadly, yes. Suki Saran was 7 shots worse on the back nine compared to the front. That statistic just confirms the story we saw on the timeline. Those tough holes, and especially that 18th, really hurt his score.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie there. And the easiest and hardest holes overall for the day.
The stats confirm hole 10, par 4, SI9 was the easiest, playing to an average of 4.88. Less than a shot over par on average.
Explains the pars and birdies we saw there.
And the hardest hole. Hole 3, par 4, SI2, playing to a brutal average of 5.5 strokes, 1.5 shots over par on average.
Ouch. That confirms why it caused so much chaos early on.
Absolutely lived up to its stroke index 2 billing, maybe even exceeded it on the day. Interestingly, hole 11, the SI1 hole, played slightly easier than hole 3 on average for this event, though still very tough. Shows SI isn't always a perfect predictor day to day.
Fascinating stuff. Well, what a journey through the Foundation Cup timeline. We really saw it all, didn't we? Early leaders stumbling, others making huge comebacks, teams seesawing.
Yeah, the drama of stroke play golf. Consistency, handling the tough stretches, capitalizing on chances. It was all there.
And ultimately, Codd's steady hand, especially that par on 11 and birdie on 16, won him the individual prize, while the swinger's consistent scoring took the team title.
The sources really did let us piece together the whole narrative, from the first pee shots through those critical moments on the Vart holes, right down to the clown car finish on 18 for some. The stats just backed it all up.
And the lib standings. Wow, that middle pack is going to be a dogfight for the rest of the season now. This event really tightened things up.
Huge implications going forward. The pressure's on.
So reflecting on this whole deep dive, tracing the scores hole by hole, seeing the collapses and the comebacks, what does it really tell you about what it takes to succeed in this kind of competition? That balance between a fast start, navigating the inevitable tough patches, and finishing strong when it really counts? Every shot matters so much.
That's a great question to ponder. It feels like it's less about avoiding mistakes entirely because everyone makes them, and more about how you react to them, doesn't it? Can you make par right after a double bogey? Can you find that crucial birdie late in the round? That mental resilience seems just as important as the physical skill.
And gods have honored you, proud Captain Chris O'Donoghue. His first selection, very clever, drafting Bullseye Merriweather to really put them to the sword. There's Paul Salvage and Simon Ford, adding in Big Deep Agil, just made them even stronger still. We're really in the swing of it, the others feel the sting of it, not making a big thing of it, though our hearts yearn to sing of it. There really is something to it. We gave our everything for it. Lipter, we're the kings of it. We're really in the swing of it.
swing defies description. Salvage has the right prescription to beat this team's lost ball addiction. They lead the way, that's my prediction. Cod knows how close the win is as he splits the G on a pint of Guinness. It's looking like a photo finish. The stout goes down, his nerves diminish. We're really in the swing of it. The others feel the sting of it. Not making a big thing of it, though our hearts yearn to sing of it. It's got a lovely ring to it. We like the o-cha-ching of it. These drinks make any minger fit. We're really in the swing of it. Alone can't tell the story when you drive like Sevy and putt like Rory. Enduring Libet's purgatory, all for one more taste of glory. We're really in the swing of it. The others feel the sting of it. Not making a big thing of it, though our hearts yearn to sing of it. There really is something to it. We gave her everything for it. Lipped her with the kings of it. We're really in the swing of it. Couldn't help but overhear. You think a Hoots Park Cavalier. We won a trophy every year. Appreciate us while we're here. So hold our beer.